What if he just walks out of the woods one of these days? I wonder what kind of legal trouble he could be in.
Are you Reynolds or Johnson?
Sorry I made you go. They really thought you were okay?
There is an old expression that basically says, you can never go home. I have always recognized it as an expression confronting our sense of nostalgia. The place where we grew up will inevitably change. The people we remember from our youth are changed, dead or gone. Now, I feel like that expression has a deeper, perhaps darker meaning to me. Barton, New Hampshire, the North Country town where I grew up, hasn't changed very much. The people and places don't look that much different. So, what has changed? It's me. I've changed. I can never go home because I'm no longer myself. Yet, the place I used to call home is calling to me. You are listening to the Disappearance Podcast, Episode 4, Reynolds and Johnson. With this episode, I conclude the retelling of my weekend stay in Barton, New Hampshire, for my 20th high school reunion. I will then jump to the present. You see, the last few episodes cover a single weekend in my exploration of the disappearance of Alistair Glamis. But I will soon get to reveal what happened next. First, I want to play you some of my conversation with Police Chief Talkins of the Barton Police Department. He was kind enough to visit me late in the morning the day after I was attacked, an event I covered in my last episode. The chief and I sat together in the parlor of the Crescent House. He began by telling me what I already knew.
Oh, we got your man. You're right, it was Joshua Strickens. He admitted to the assault.
He did? What else did he say? Why did he attack me?
Well, I can't say much, especially not while being recorded. There's still an investigation going on. I can tell you that Mr. Strickens said some things that caused me to request a psychological evaluation. I cannot say much more.
I see. Is this the first time he's ever attacked someone?
Well, like I said, I can't go into very many details about Mr. Strickens, but I can tell you that he has no criminal record. I want to be clear with you as to why I agreed to be recorded. I listened to the first episode of your program, your internet radio show, whatever you call it. I want people, your listeners, these people who are stringing along, who you're stringing along, to know that there's nothing to the disappearance of Alistair Glamis.
I have to admit that if the chief was trying to make me feel bad for this audio project, then it worked.
It was a closed case? It is a closed case. This is a young man who disappeared decades ago. His only known family member himself gave up the search over a decade ago. That was his father, Sam Glamis, who is now deceased. From my perspective, there's no mystery here.
So what do you think happened to Alistair Glamis?
Officially, we may never know. Do I believe he's deceased? Yes, I do. Was foul play involved? I can't say because I don't know. We looked for him. We followed every lead that we could.
What about the old LP records he sent to me?
Well, sounds like it was an old birthday present he never got to deliver. Now, I also heard you say in your show that you got rid of them. Not even you thought they were important. I mean, really.
What about the pineapple written in blood and the name Reynolds?
You have that with you?
The pineapple? I do.
If you want to leave it with me, then I'll take a look. Now, that doesn't mean we're reopening a closed case. If there's anything to it, then you'll hear from me personally. I don't expect there to be anything, and I hope you've learned to leave things alone on behalf of Barton. Just leave us alone, huh? Find another mystery, okay?
It was clear that with just a single episode, my podcast had stirred up more than I was expecting. And I was left with nothing to show for it.
Let's play a game called Good Cop, Bad Cop. You can be the good, I will be the bad. Let's find the lovers who broke our hearts. Ask them how they sleep now we're apart. And even if they answer, we're not done. We will pull out our Tommy gun and shoot them down just for fun.
I knew nothing more about Alistair. I had no idea why he sent me the box. I didn't know anything more about his past or his disappearance. But it has been over a month since the reunion. That is the past. Things have happened, and now it's time to bring you up to speed. Josh Strickens, my attacker, was charged with assault and battery. He was given a year of probation. As for the psychological evaluation that the chief alluded to, nothing more was shared with me. As for me, the bruising on my face is all but gone, but there still is a tender spot. The chief returned Alistair's mysterious index card in the mail about 2 weeks later. He also left a message on my phone that I'm going to play for you right now.
Hi, this is Police Chief Roger Talkins of the Barton Police Department. I'm calling to update you on the index card you gave me concerning the disappearance of Alistair Glamis. And I'm returning the card to you in the mail. We found nothing out of the ordinary about the card. I hope you'll find some closure in that. Our team concluded that the words weren't written in blood, as you ascertained in your own personal investigation. Rather, it was plain old acrylic paint. I don't expect to hear from you on this subject again. Thanks.
I imagine you might be guessing that this is the end of the Disappearance Podcast. And it almost was. But I got a message the very day I released my last episode. I wasn't sure anyone was listening. But now I'm hearing from people. Mostly complete strangers. Admittedly, I have not told a lot of people that I know that I'm making this show. Well, admittedly, I don't know a lot of people. As for the messages, a few have criticized me for getting rid of those old record albums. Enough so I thought I would address it. I promise everyone, they were crappy albums. Nothing special. And remember, I don't have a record player. I didn't even have a way to listen to them. A few other messages were supportive, even going so far as saying that the program should be double the length. I think those messages may have been from some of my sister Talia's friends. Regardless, thanks for the encouragement. I feel like the message I'm about to share may change everything. At least for me, it already has. The message came after my last episode, so as you can imagine, I've had quite a week trying to figure it all out. Listen to this.
Reynolds and Johnson. That duo of names is not as random to me as it may appear to you or your listeners.
That is history professor Clyde Northworth of Indiana State University. His initial email basically stated that, if I was interested, he could explain a historical relationship between the names Johnson and Reynolds.
I know Johnson very intimately. Samuel Johnson is the subject of my book. He was a very complex man, to say the least, but he was also one of the most famous literary figures of the late 18th century.
Could you explain how you found my podcast? I found that interesting.
Of course. I have a search alert set up. It's something I do as a researcher. Anytime anyone mentions my search terms in a post or something, then I get a notification and a link. Someone was mentioned in your episode. I gave it a listen right away and decided I might as well chip in my own 2 cents.
And someone named Reynolds had a notable relationship with Samuel Johnson?
Oh yes, famously so. Samuel Johnson, as I just explained, was a titan of letters in his time. And if you look him up, you're going to see the definitive portrait of him. The most famous painting of him was done in 1772 by his good friend, founder, and first president of the Royal Academy of Arts, Sir Joshua Reynolds.
Reynolds and Johnson, huh.
But I want to add that the two collaborated much earlier together on something called The Club, which was a weekly gathering of powerful and brilliant minds.
Gathering for what purpose?
Well, no one knows exactly what they discussed, but the idea was that great contributors to the liberal and literary arts would meet behind closed doors to enlighten each other. They also shared a meal. Contemporary accounts say that the evening was a grand display of wit and knowledge. And guess what the symbol for their gathering was?
Really? A pineapple.
Bingo.
At first, I wasn't sure what to think about the revelation that Reynolds and Johnson were the names of real people connected by a pineapple. Frankly, it sounds nonsensical saying it even now, but without a doubt, the people and connections are real. I encourage you to look them up. I've been researching these two guys all week, and it's like I have barely gotten beyond the surface. I also feel like I need to keep going a little longer with this audio project. So what if the pineapple wasn't actually written in blood? There is something here. I just know it. It is something I am just starting to tease out. There are the other things that happened in Barton that were overshadowed by my attack. Like the fact that so many people recognized me when I first arrived, even though I hadn't been to Barton for a very long time.
I think you're losing the plot, but I'm not sure that's a bad thing. When did this stop being about Alistair Glamis and start being about you?
That's my sister Talia. I called her after sending her the draft edits of my last 2 episodes. As you know, she is always pretty straightforward with her opinions. I wanted to know what she thought of the direction of the show before I sent it out to the masses. I also wanted to pitch to her my next step in the investigation.
So you are going back? That's crazy. Don't go.
Yeah, I know it's crazy. It's just something that has lingered with me since that weekend. It wasn't a one-time occurrence. People repeatedly thought I was someone else. Someone they had seen before, recently even. At the country store, at the town library. I know it could be nothing.
It's absolutely nothing. It's some dude that looks like you. You're really going all the way back up there for that?
I also want to talk to Josh Strickens again.
What? The guy that beat you up? You're a moron. You're gonna get beaten up again.
He knew stuff about Alistair's mystery box that only a professor of history figured out. It's something no one else is gonna ask him about. I have to ask him.
What are you gonna do? Just knock on his front door? Hey, remember me? I'm the guy that got you a year's worth of probation. Can I interview you again for my podcast before you hit me?
Something like that. Actually, I hope he's listening and considers getting in touch with me first.
So yes, I want to talk to Josh Strickens again. Even after he attacked me. I've had a lot of time to think about everything that happened, and I just have so many questions, starting with his question. The question he asked while he was throwing me to the ground. Here's the audio again from the attack.
Are you Reynolds or Johnson? Reynolds or Johnson? Are you Reynolds or Johnson?
The other bit I want to replay for you is from Josh's interview at the tavern prior to the attack. Listen to what he said.
Really? That's your question? Barton doesn't change. It's forever. You change. Toast to you. What else you got?
Josh said that Barton is forever. I change. That only caught my attention after my conversation with Clyde Northworth. I know this is a stretch, but I read online that the club, that 18th century exclusive gathering, had a special toast that they said to each other, Esto Perpetua. It's Latin. It means let it be perpetual, or literally, let it be forever. Could Josh Strickens have been speaking to me in code the entire time? If so, then what does it all mean? I don't know. But Josh, despite our recent history, is the key to figuring it all out. Certainly why I was attacked, but maybe also why Alistair left the word Reynolds scrawled beneath a drawing of a pineapple. I can't help but think that through this all, there is still a young man that went missing 20 years ago. A real person. Alistair Glamis had hopes and dreams, just like any other kid. Talia may be right. I might be losing the plot. But Alistair Glamis didn't leave me answers. He left me a mystery. And this podcast is my only means of exploration. Think about it. No one else cares. Alistair has no known living family members. The police are clear. They consider the case closed. It's just me. I'm the one who cares. Me. So, from here on out, I am making the rules. During my next episode, I'm going back to Barton. I'm going to find my double, and I'm going to figure out what any of this has to do with a literary dinner club founded in 1764. I know this is getting weird, but I hope you stay with me. If you know anything about the disappearance of Alistair Glamis, or you are connected with this story in any way and wish to share, then please visit my website, disappearancepodcast.com, where I will be posting an image of the painting of Samuel Johnson by Joshua Reynolds. I'll reshare it to Facebook as well. Search there for The Disappearance Podcast. All three words together should bring it up. Thanks to my sister Talia, Police Chief Roger Talkins of the Barton Police Department, and Professor Clyde Northworth for making this episode possible. Thanks also to Ross Boyd, Prom Queen, and Ben Von Wildenhaus for providing the music. This show is a co-production with Partners in Crime Media. Please take a moment to rate and review this program on iTunes so word can spread. Thanks also to Sean Crapo, Laura Scafati, Paul Belfi, and Jonathan Briggs for the support. Josh Strickens, if you're out there listening, then please consider contacting me. I have some questions. As for the rest of my listeners, let's talk in 2 weeks. Partners in Crime Media.